for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show, and you are listening to episode number 72. This is a special panel show that we recorded a few weeks ago at Gabby's Grill in Prescott Valley. So thank you to the good folks over there that took care of us, our servers, our bartenders, as well as owners Jim and Kelly Cabral, who are always good friends of the show and good friends of mine. So thank you, folks, at Gabby's Grill. We had a good turnout for this show, a nice size audience. So thanks to all the folks who came out to join us and have a little fun. And, of course, thanks to the panel that were on hand to discuss the upcoming Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice movie that's going to hit screens this month on March 25th. I'm looking forward to it. I am not a huge comic book or sci-fi fantasy fan, but I do like the both Batman and Superman universes. I have been a fan of Batman since way back when Adam West was the Caped Crusader back on the TV show from the 1960s. We talk a little bit about that. We hear a little music that was performed right there at Gabby's. A lot of fun from our panel. And the panel consisted of two local musicians, including Sky Conwell, who played a couple of tunes for us, and Leslie Earl Lyman, both former guests of the show. Actually, everybody, I think, on the show, with the exception of one, have been guests to the mics at the Mile High Show in the past. So thanks to Sky and Les, as well as radio newsman Bill Monroe from KQ&A, KDDL, KPPV, and local sports director from KYCA, and sci-fi author John Rust, who joined us. Photojournalist Matt Hinshaw, who is a complete sci-fi and comic book nerd, and local tech expert Brian Lottie, the gadget guy himself. Now, we had a special guest, comic book artist who happens to live around here, who has worked on Batman and Superman books in the past. He's worked on Guardians of the Galaxy. He's worked on quite a few different genres from different producers, both DC, Marvel, and a couple others. Mr. David Beatty, who sat down with us and brought some original artwork that we were able to raffle off that day, as well as several other nice prizes. So thanks to all those that donated, including Prescott Pro Sounds' Ted Leonard, who loaned us some equipment for the day. There was a bunch. Actually, I forget everybody who was there. So just listen to the show, and you'll hear us acknowledge everybody that was there. Eric Vernier over at Big Daddy E's Barbecue gave us a nice gift certificate. Oh, and the great folks at the Arizona Rattlers gave us a nice gift pack, Miss Ashley Stovall, a good friend of ours and assistant to the president over there at the Rattlers of the Arena Football League, gave us a great pack, including some tickets, some T-shirts, all kinds of goodies. A four-pack of tickets, good at any of the games this season. The Rattlers, it's a lot of fun down there at, they changed the name of the arena. We talk about that too, I forget. But it's down there in Phoenix where the Phoenix Suns play for the NBA. And the Arizona Rattlers, five-time world champions of the AFL. A lot of fun there. Matt Hinshaw is their official team photographer, and I help him out on some shoots down there, so I cover a couple of games as well. It's a lot of fun, great fun for the entire family. My son loves going down there, so we're looking forward to hitting a few games. And somebody walked out with four free tickets as well as some nice giveaway stuff. So thank you, Ashley. Thank you to the good folks at the Rattlers and everybody who showed up. Let's just get right to it. Today's show was brought to you by Audible.com. Use that Audible link right there at the homepage at milehighshow.com. Click on it. Get your free audio title. You can choose from over 180,000 titles and a free 30-day subscription. So check out audible.com using the Mile High Show link and using the code at checkout, Mile High. Also, Amazon, do all your online shopping, and we get a little thank you from Amazon by using that Amazon link right there at milehighshow.com. Let's get on with the show about men in tights. Super.
I want to fly like Superman, Superman, Superman. I want to be like Superman. I want to be like Superman. I want to be like Superman. Woo!
Thank you, Sky Daddy Conwell. Now, we're gonna introduce everybody up here. We're going to go around the horn here. Let's start with Sky. Sky, tell us who you are, where folks can reach out to you, and what it is you do in and around Prescott, Arizona.
I'm a musician right here. I'm from Prescott. That's all I do. And my name is Sky. They call me Sky Daddy. My website is skydaddy.net.
And what can they get on there? What are some of the things? You got your calendar listed?
I play almost every day, and so on my website you can find out where I'm playing. You just look at the calendar, you can hear some videos, some audio clips, and see us playing, and some bios on the band, and a lot of useless information.
It's like pulling teeth to get him to promote himself. What else can they do there, Sky? I don't know, maybe buy a CD?
Indeed, they can. In fact, right now you can buy a CD. They're for sale right here. It's only $10.
And we'll have a couple of giveaways as well. Next to Sky, the man, the myth, the legend, the not a serial killer.
That's just not ever going to go away, is it? All right, my name's Leslie Earl Lyman. I am I'm a local singer-songwriter guy. I've been here in Prescott making trouble in northern Arizona musically for the last 16 years. I have a Facebook page, Leslie Earl Lyman. You can find out where I'm playing next and whatever happens to like pop up that I find interesting, which is a goodness.
We were going to raffle off selling tickets to win a chance to give him a haircut. Is that still in the mix?
No.
Okay.
No. No, but like, you know, dude, if you want to borrow some, I'm just...
I'll just stand next to you and you can comb over. I'll just lay my head on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Now, next to me is a good friend of mine who helps me and makes sure I behave myself when I do my monthly radio show locally. And he's also the owner of some of the best pajamas in town. So wait, first, stand up first. Stand on the chair.
Oh, what's this?
All right, Billy, introduce yourself.
These are actually boxers. Oops. My name is Bill Monroe. I work for Arizona's Hometown Radio Group, and as Matt says, I keep them in order on Talk of the Town every Monday at 4 o'clock on KQNA, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM. But he only does the show, what, once a month?
Once a month.
Once a month. So, but
and
it's
that's
every Monday.
Once a month too many.
That's right. And I am a serial killer, by the way.
Yeah, this is a battle of the media wars here. I've got radio on one side and radio on another. Who are you, Johnny?
Well, you know who I am. I guess the other. I guess
obviously,
other people, yeah.
They don't.
They don't. Okay.
They listen to FM.
What's a radio?
Well, also, it's been nice being here. Bye, Matt. I never want to talk to you again.
It worked.
Thanks. I am John Rust. I am the sports director at KYCA Radio, 1490 AM on your dial. I cover all the local sports here in the Tri-City area, and Saturday mornings you can hear me do the Tri-City Sports Roundup at 8:06 AM. I am also a published author. I have 4 books out there, 2 sci-fi ones, Dark Wings and Sea Raptor, and 2 baseball ones, The Best Phillies Team Ever, and Arizona's all-time baseball team, where I take players who were born and raised in this state and put them into a 25-man roster. All those books are available on Amazon, and you can also check me out on my Goodreads page and Facebook. It's Facebook, John J. Rust, author.
I'm sorry, our time is up. Maddie.
What's up?
A man of few words, unless you want to get off the phone, and then it just never ends.
I got skills, what can I say? Or if it's about Star Wars. Although that's a wrong podcast, right? Well, I'm Matt Hinshaw. I am a photographer for the Prescott Daily Courier. I also have my own photo business, hinshawphotography.com. And then I also recently signed the contract for the Arizona Rattlers, being their photographer again. So it's 2 seasons in a row, and I'm hurriedly going through pictures of cheerleaders. So it was a long week last week.
Some of them are in focus. Yeah, I did notice while we were shooting, his hands were shaking a lot. And then they're all soft focus from the heavy breathing and the fogging of the lens.
I was using your camera.
Now one of the giveaways that we'll be giving away later on in the show is a nice gift pack donated by the Arizona Rattlers on behalf of Matt. And it's a, if you're not familiar with the Rattlers, arena football of the AFL. How many championships have they won? A lot?
Six, seven, yeah, seven, I think.
A very, very competitive
four in a row.
Team. Yeah.
Almost
and if,
five.
If you haven't seen arena football at that level, it's extremely fast-paced. They play in the same arena. They changed the name. What's it called now?
Talking Stick is now one of the casinos bought the naming rights, so now it's Talking Stick. But I remember it as America West.
And U.S. Airways. It's where the
U.S. Airways Center
play as well, down in Phoenix. They've donated a bunch of little stuff to give away, including four tickets to any future regular season game this season. Yep. So if you're a football fan, that's something you might be interested in. If you've never seen arena football, it is fast-paced. It's played on the field the same size as the ice at a hockey rink. So it's extremely quick and exciting to watch. Now, this next gentleman at the end over here, or towards the end, I just met tonight as he came in. We've dialogued on Facebook and emails, but never face-to-face. So it is my extreme pleasure to introduce Mr. Dave Beatty. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and why it is you're here today.
Okay. Well, as Matt said, my name is Dave Beatty. I'm a professional. That's fine. It's close enough. I'm a professional comic book artist. Over the course of a 23-year career, I've worked for all the major and minor publishers, including some that people have heard of, like Marvel and DC Comics. Most people would be familiar with my work at DC Comics, where I worked on this book called Batman Incorporated and Justice League of America. So I bring an interesting insight into the Batman versus Superman discussion that we're having this evening. As far as where you can reach me, I am on Facebook. It's just Dave Beatty, and it's my actual personal one, so if you just send me a friend request. I'm also on Twitter at Dave B. Cartoonist, where I post art updates when I'm allowed to. In addition to the work that I've done for the comic book publishers, I'm also working on a new publication, but Cartoons Magazine, kind of Mad Magazine, but automotive-based humor. Some people would remember it from back in the day, but the magazine's back. It's on newsstands now, and I'm contributing to that monthly, so check that out, too.
Thank you for coming in, Dave. We sure appreciate it. Now, we have so much good info sitting at this table, except for me. I would say I saved the best for last, but that would be slighting everybody else. But this last gentleman over here was voted the MVP of our last podcast that we did here at Gabby's. He was worried that he was not. He goes, "What am I going to contribute? What am I going to contribute?" And his vast knowledge of all things fun is why Brian is here, and he's put together a little special thing for us. So, Brian, introduce yourself. Tell us about your line of work, and tell us about, without giving too much away, what you have on your pad there.
Okay. My name is Brian. Is the mic on? Own a PC maintenance setup repair business, and it's called The Gadget Guy, and you can check out our very neglected Facebook page, AZ Gadget Guy. And I have some trivia questions here. And Matt's got some prizes, so yay.
Brian spent quite a bit of time putting together a list of some trivia questions about Batman and Superman. We never did tell why we're here, huh? It's a Batman-Superman podcast. Because in March, there will be a Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice movie. And it's just an excuse to come to Gabby's, eat, drink, and it's really the only time I can get people to hang out with me. So that's why. Oh.
Without paying
the the people awing are the ones that don't really know me. The ones that know me are just going, yeah, I get
I'm
it.
I'm not even nodding my head.
So we wanted to talk about Superman, about Batman, and even though Sky is very excited to just duke it out about anybody who doesn't agree with him because he has some very strong opinions over who would win in a fight, my goal of this putting this podcast together was just so we can share some fun memories, some anecdotes about Batman, about Superman, and the universes that they live in. And Brian, like I said, has spent a good amount of time putting together a list of some fairly well-known trivia questions and some that go a little deeper to test your knowledge. And then we might even do some maybe audience questions if you want to stump the panel here. If you have some deep knowledge of the Batman and Superman universe that you don't think these guys know about, especially Dave, maybe we'll put Dave on the spot.
I know a few things. A few things.
Yeah. So, like I said, we have some good prize. And then because if you have listened to or knew anything about the Star Wars podcast that we did with some of these folks on the panel, in preparation of the most recent Star Wars movie that came out, you may know that I know very little to nothing about Star Wars, and my Star Wars knowledge is quite a bit more than my Batman and Superman knowledge. So I put together some of my own trivia questions. They have to do with the actual flying animals, bats, baseball bats, and, of course, the world-famous Whammo Super Ball, not the Superman. So we'll have some questions about that as well. Before we start, or as we start up here, let's just open it up to Sky. And then, guys, feel free, jump in however you want. Sky is very passionate about who?
Oh, it's Batman, of course.
Why?
Well, if the whole thing is Batman versus Superman, so we're going
to
have a fight, I guess, between
fight.
Batman and Superman. And so there might be a debate on who's going to win the fight, and it's clearly obvious that Batman would win the fight. I don't even know why we even have to have the discussion.
Yep, podcast is over. Everybody go home.
Why? Why? Superman is super. Batman has, what, no superpowers. He's got lots of toys.
He does, too. His superpower of money.
The ultimate superpower.
Hey, you got loud all of a sudden, Brian.
Still figuring it out.
Superman, first of all, Superman has a weakness, and Batman, as far as I've seen, does not even have any weaknesses. All Batman has to do to defend himself, he's got the cape. Superman, his cape lets him fly, no big deal. And so
no big deal.
Yeah, he can fly.
The
okay,
power
Superman
of flight
can fly,
is
right?
No big deal.
Batman can't fly, but you know, he gets around, so he can fly and he can turn invisible. Superman, that's really all he can do. He's pretty strong. But I think that Batman can do pretty much everything else.
Well, Les, I know you have an opinion about everything.
I just like, look, first off, the thing is that the reason that Batman usually wins in the DC canon is because he's actually had to figure it out. How to, like, be around all these, you know, meta-powered mortals, you know, immortal people, you know. I mean, he's the only guy, human being on the Justice League, right? Everybody else is superpowered something, right? So his superpower is actually being really smart, you know, and that's really what it is. Superman can do a lot more than that. He can turn back, depending on how far you want to go back, he can turn back time. He can
hook up a VCR.
Yeah, he can hook up a VCR. I like that.
Well,
he can hook up a VCR. He has heat vision. He's not the strongest person in the DC universe, but he's pretty close.
The only way you can get a word in edgewise on Les is just interrupt.
I was just waiting for him to finish his thought.
There's much more of that, but like I tend to agree with you that. I agree with you that Superman probably would get his butt handed to him by Batman because he never really had to learn how to fight. He just, you know, does stuff. You know?
Well, maybe we should ask who thinks who's going to win the versus Batman versus Superman amongst the panelists because we know what Sky wants. What about everybody else?
Well, this is Dave. I can chime in. I'm also in the Batman camp. But that being said, part of the reason. For me personally, I'm rooting for Batman is because with the recent Man of Steel movie, we've cast Superman very much as the alien.
Right.
So if you ever watch any alien invasion movie, typically where the aliens invade the planet Earth, you're always rooting for the humans because we don't want to be overthrown and enslaved and murdered. So
we know who
I'm very much in the Batman side, just on that argument alone. But Superman is a very powerful superhero. I mean, he's flown through the sun. He's actually pushed the planet out of orbit back in the 1950s. So he's a very formidable opponent.
That said, he's not magical or mystical. He's a biological being. And I actually wanted to get Dave to drop some truth on us, because I don't know this. But what are some things that can harm Superman? He's by no means invincible.
Well, Superman
long-term commitments.
Well, in addition to that,
then you need to change
Superman
your
is
shirt,
very
man.
Vulnerable throughout the comic books, actually, to magic. Magic is a very big vulnerability that has been exploited. Obviously, everybody knows about the kryptonite. In addition to kryptonite, there's also other versions. There's black kryptonite, gold kryptonite, red kryptonite, and everything affects him in different ways. You know, red kryptonite would basically cause him to mutate in a strange way. Green kryptonite obviously would kill him. Black kryptonite actually takes away his powers. Ooh. So he has actually a lot of vulnerabilities. And in the recent Man of Steel movie, what they showed us is actually change of kind of environment actually can affect him too. Because when he was on board the Kryptonian ship, actually in the Kryptonian environment, he was very weakened and he would have been really easy to take out because he couldn't even get off the floor. Mm-hmm. So that in the newer version, I think we're going to see that Batman's probably got a little bit more probably vulnerabilities to exploit with the way that they've recast him in the new film.
Well, yeah. I think the other thing with this Batman is the Ben Affleck version. This is an older, more jaded Batman. I think he's probably been Batman for at least 20 years in this universe. And he's going to be very streetwise, very experienced. He's going to come up with ways that he can use to defeat Superman. And actually, I'm in the Batman camp here, too, where I believe Batman can defeat Superman. And I go back to the animated movie Justice League Doom, and the main plot was that Vandal Savage hacks into Batman's computer, finds a program that Batman developed where basically he listed every weakness of all his Justice League companions and how to exploit them should they ever go rogue. So Batman, I think, is fully prepared to exploit whatever weakness, be it his weakness to kryptonite or maybe a psychological weakness, to use to his advantage. And I think that's what makes the battle so great. People can just look at it and say, well, Superman's this incredibly powerful being. Batman's just a human being. Basically, he's just a guy running around in a bat suit. You know, how can he defeat Superman? But again, because Batman uses his intellect, uses his experience, and I think he's got a good shot at taking out Superman.
Well, obviously, John, you've put some thought into this.
I usually put thought into everything I do.
How did your appreciation for this DC universe start? What are some of your earliest recollections and memories of both Batman and or Superman?
My earliest recollections were when I was a kid back in the 70s and the local UHF station would...
You're old!
I ain't old. The local UHF stations would run like the 1960s cartoons from DC with Superman, Batman. You also had the Super Friends, which was really, really campy. I mean, most superhero cartoons and shows were pretty campy in the 60s, 70s, 80s. But then you got to the early 90s, and that's when they came out with Batman the Animated Series, which really put a more serious spin on the Batman universe. It showed Batman as, you know, not the Adam West Batman or anything. It showed his detective skills. It showed his fighting skills. They actually developed very distinct personalities for Batman and all the other characters in his universe. You know, instead of just being a cartoon, it basically became just another TV series that had to be animated. It was so well written, so well done. I think it even won a few Emmys too.
Yes, actually, I was going to say it actually did win some Emmys. Brett Blevins, actually one of the storyboard artists, actually lives in Prescott, and he won Emmy awards for his work on Batman the Animated Series. So,
why isn't he here? Why is Matt here? What do you,
dude? I would have stayed home. I'm a Marvel guy. You know me,
Dave. Obviously, your appreciation for the whole comic art form is deeper than any of us, I'm sure. How did that begin? Was this something that as a little guy, as a young guy, or was this something you came across and appreciated later in life? Give us a little of your background.
Well, my love of comic books actually starts with my grandfather. He used to read them to me as bedtime stories. My grandmother had sent him care packages.
That could lead to some interesting dreams. were some of the early ones that you remember your grandfather
reading?
Well,
actually, one of the first ones I remember my grandfather reading to me actually was Superman's girlfriend Lois Lane, which is the last place you would imagine. But it was actually one of the early team-ups between Superman and Batman. Because, you know, back in the 1950s, they didn't really battle each other. They teamed up, which eventually, towards the end of this movie, we're going to see that too.
Yeah.
Spoiler. Yeah.
Yeah, some spoiler.
I mean, and so I've always loved comic books. When I decided I wanted to actually work in the industry or draw comic books, it was actually a Batman book. But he was not fighting Superman. It was Batman versus the Incredible Hulk. Ironically enough, Batman won that confrontation as well. I just remembered flipping through that book and being mesmerized by what I was seeing. I had already been drawing a lot as a kid. And I was like, going, this is amazing. I want to do this.
What were some of the first drawings you were doing as a kid, as a fan? What were some of the characters that you liked to recreate?
Well, actually, some of my earliest drawings, actually going back when I talked about Cartoons Magazine, I used to draw a lot of hot rods. And then as far as the comic book stuff goes, I think some of my earliest stuff was, you know, Batman, Superman, Robin, because, you know, Batman and Robin were kind of a team back in those days. They were a big fixture. But it was mostly, to be honest, it was mostly the DC stuff. I don't know what it was, but my grandfather had more DC than Marvel stuff, and I think that's part of the reason I'm more kind of a DC than a Marvel guy, is just because that's what I was introduced to at a young age.
Nice, nice. How difficult was it for you to break into the business once you decided this was what you wanted to do? What are some of the early memories you have of trying to get into this, which obviously is a love of yours, and trying to make some money at it?
Right. Breaking into the comic industry is very difficult, pretty much on any level, whether you want to write, you want to draw, whatever it is you want to do, unless you want to be an unpaid intern. I hear that's kind of easy. but it is really difficult. I remember going to San Diego Comic-Con, standing in portfolio lines for, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours just to talk to someone for 30 seconds. Getting some pretty harsh criticisms and reviews. That's kind of part of the business. I guess for me, it was just something I wanted to do, and I just never gave up on it. Nice. So, yeah.
Nice. So it's not like radio where they'll pretty much just hire anybody. Oh, sorry. Wow. Well, I'm there.
I just did want to mention, it's interesting, you mentioned the Superman-Batman team-ups of the 50s, and that's interesting because I remember one story in particular where they were trying to figure out if Clark Kent was Superman, and they actually helped each other out. And so it's like, oh, hey, it's Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne.
Well, it's interesting because you're bringing that up, because the story that I remember, that's very much what was going on.
Right,
at the end, they actually were switching out each other's superhero identities in order to throw Lois Lane off.
Yeah.
And then the gag at the end, I think, was that she was getting off the ship because they both wanted to ask Lois Lane out, and I think she left with Robin.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And Robin got scared.
Probably.
Holy third wheel, Batman!
So since we're talking Batman, let's open this out to some audience participation here. Brian, pull up. You don't have to do anything with the mic. Pull up one of your Batman questions, and we have anybody that is a fan of what I consider the original Batman, just because that's where I was first introduced to Batman, was in the 1966 television show. They also came out with a full-length movie that we have a Blu-ray for. So Brian's going to toss out a trivia question about Batman, and if you feel that you know the answer and would like to take this home with you, shoot up your hand. And again, if you're nice to me and you slip me a little something, I might call on you. So nice and loud, Brian, give us a Batman trivia question.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with a little bit harder one here, not too hard. If you're giving away a fine piece of cinema like that. So,
I just
Lee Merriweather is fantastic in that movie. So here you go. What's the title of the book in which Batman made his first appearance? The first comic that Batman showed up in.
Anybody, any takers? Joe King.
Yep, Detective Comics.
Detective Comics.
Number
what number, though? What number?
Oh, let's make him work for it.
What's that?
Hey, it's Gumby. I just noticed what you were wearing. Here you go, Joe.
That's number
It was issue number, not issue number one, so I have no idea what happened in 1 through 26, but in 27, right on the cover, it introduced the world to the amazing and unique adventures of the Batman.
And it had a hyphen, Bat-Man.
The Batman. Right.
Now, right. if you want to know who that was in the Gumby shirt that just came up, that is Mr. Joe King, local artist, but he is known throughout the country. He's known all over the place. Everybody knows Joe. Joe has also supplied us with a piece of original art that will be given away. And if you want to know about the Toon Guy, come on up after the show. And we've got some cards there where you can... he's got some great artwork that he displays and sells locally. And he will be more than happy to sell some to you and take your money for it. You know what, Brian? Do another one. You know what? I'm going to do one.
Okay.
I'm going to do one. This is a bat sort of Batman question. And what we're going to give away here, Mr. Bell. Mr. Bell, Robert Bell here, has a... You know what? Slide over. Bob, sorry. Tell us a little bit about your business and what this is sitting on my... We should have checked with Jim and Kelly before we put this stuff on the table. Because what am I holding here?
Well, what you've got there, Matt, is something special we made for tonight and for your program. This is bat crap.
Bat crap.
What? I'm a goat rancher, and manure is my life. So, and this is a family show, so we're going to keep it real G.
What does this do to your house plants? We've got a jar of goatalizer,
correct,
and two bags of bat crap.
Yes. Well, let me start with the goatalizer because that's our signature product. That actually is a gel capsule.
Don't mistake it for your golden seal or your.
I took about three of those, by the way.
Well, that explains a lot.
Actually, that's for indoor plants or your seedlings. There's no odor. It's supported in a gel cap. So you just plant it into your dirt. And
put it in your plant and watch your plants grow. Okay, here's the question. Thanks, Rob. How long do bats generally live for? This is not Batman. This is your actual bats that fly around in your trees. Who knows how long they typically live for? Anyone? No takers? Nobody wants some fertilizer?
Yeah, I think
Farmer John
the
back
gift.
There. Anthony! More than that. 5 years. It's more than five. Miss Patty Adler. 10 to 20 years is Woo! Correct. Come on over and get your poop. Woo! Come over here and get your poop.
Is this the only podcast that gives away poop?
No, most of them do. It's just in the audible form.
I'm pretty sure this one isn't left out either.
Right here. These two bags and that bottle.
Well, all right.
Oh, and
I got one to get back on the topic of Batman versus Superman.
No, go ahead, Matt.
In the most recent...
Can I chime in just real quick? Can we do just a real quick Superman-themed one? Because I
have
a question.
There's no structure to this at all. You just jump in and say whatever you want.
I apologize, Matt. I just feel we should do a Superman-themed trivia question. Who in the room can answer this question?
You're asking a trivia question?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tell you what, I have an idea since you're asking it. Why don't we do one of your...
Okay, we could do that.
This is a premier prize. Listen up, folks. You pick one. Whichever one you want there.
So
Dave has supplied us with some original comic book artwork. And this isn't... This is a... extreme level of art form here. So we're going to let Dave pull one out and tell us a little bit about it.
What I've got here is actually it's a page from a comic book series I worked on called Brightest Day that actually I've got upside down that actually featured a character called Firestorm that a lot of people may know from the Flash television series. So on this page we've got Firestorm, we also have Jason Rush, and we have Professor Martin Stein. Which, if you're watching the show, you'd be familiar with all those characters. Anyhow, so my trivia question, which is...
Listen up!
Which actually has an interesting radio tie-in, is... for the longest time, Superman had this great catchphrase called Up, Up, and Away. Does that come either from the comic books or from radio? Well, raise your hand.
Raise your hand.
I saw this young man's hand first. Radio. That's right. It does come from radio. And the reason it comes from radio is because they needed that in order to make sure people understood that he was flying.
Up, down.
Now, Brian had. Oh, I'm sorry, Matt. You were going to chime in here. Go ahead.
I was just wondering if anybody had paid attention to the Dark Knight series and how they brought in Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I haven't watched a whole lot about the trailers and things on the new movie. I've watched what's out there, but I don't know a whole lot. I haven't done any reading. Maybe Dave would know, because I know you're very big into this upcoming film. But do you know if they're going to bring in Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Robin in this movie?
I think someone else could probably answer that, too. The answer is no.
Yeah.
Pretty much the Christopher Nolan movies are done, and this is kind of a reinvented universe. Actually, if you watch one of the early trailers, one of the Easter eggs that's in the background when Batman's talking about how many good people are left or how many stayed that way, he actually glances over his shoulder, and you actually see a Robin costume, and the Joker has spray-painted ha-ha-ha-ha-ha all over it, which kind of implies that the Joker might have actually killed Robin at some point.
Death in the family.
Yeah.
Death in the family.
No. Well, I was just bringing it up because they introduced him at the end of that series, and, you know, I was just curious.
Brian, you have a love for old radio dramas, old-time radio and things. Tell me a little bit, because you're not... How old are you? How old are you, Brian?
35.
35, but the heart of a 75-year-old when it comes to the appreciation
exactly.
of classic... Literature, mm-hmm. classic storytelling, and
175.
Tell me a little bit about some of the OTR that you listen to, the old time radio stuff, including and not limited to what we're talking about tonight.
Well, obviously, Dragnet is one of the best old time radio shows, and a lot of the detectives are great. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is one of our favorites. We'll sit down and listen to that one. It's great. But on topic, The Adventures of Superman. It was a great show, and some of our trivia questions are going to touch on that. It really was shockingly influential to the whole Superman mythology, the serial-selling radio show.
Guys, jump in whenever you want, but let's go ahead and do a Superman trivia thing. But you find one there, and mm-hmm. I'm just going to yell. Let's do a T-shirt. Let's do a T-shirt with a cape for whoever would like to answer. We'll do a couple. Mm-hmm. Give me two questions.
Well, here's one I like. Bud Collier was the actor who played Superman and Clark Kent in the old-time radio show. And like most human beings, he liked vacations. He wanted to not be at work sometimes. Unfortunately for him, the show at one point was airing 5 days a week. So that's a lot of time to work. So my question is, which major part of the Superman mythology was invented to both give Bud a break and explain his absence from the show?
Anyone, there was a big chunk of Superman lore that was invented because a guy wanted a vacation. Anybody?
Say again.
Sandra?
No, that in the radio show, well, in most Superman, I think all, the planet was long gone. That's where I'll...
Maybe there were some specks Christine of it floating back. Around the
Christine.
Solar system.
Christine.
In the back.
Not Fortress of Solitude.
Not to send the character on vacation, but to get rid of him.
The actor went on vacation, so that meant Superman was gone. What did they attribute it to? And they invented something.
The Batman shirt.
Fortress?
No. Mariah.
Did he leave his cousin Supergirl?
Nope, she was there on Earth somewhere, probably.
She was in that bottle.
Let's just do this. Who wants a shirt?
There you go.
Okay, so Brian, you tell
that
us.
That was a hard one.
Is in... The 1943 serial, they called them serials, they ran for several episodes, sometimes for months and months. In 1943, there was an episode called The Meteor from Krypton. Clark Kent first feels the effects of kryptonite, a chunk of Krypton, and this left him in a weakened, vulnerable state, so he could get away, so Bud Collier could get away for a while.
So kryptonite was invented so the actor could go golfing, I think, is what it was.
Sounds about right.
Now, let's go. You've got an interesting question on there that's a multi-part, so it'll give us a chance to give away a few things.
Okay.
The one about the villain or what? Okay.
This is a Batman-themed. U.S. presidential candidate or supervillain?
He's going to throw out some names. You guess whether it is. We'll just do one by one. And the first one will be for, even though we're crossing here, it'll be for this. These are metal. Think license plate material. Wall decorations. This one is of Superman. So Brian is going to mention a name. And you let us know, was he a supervillain or a past presidential candidate in real life?
And I thought of going with Lex Luthor as one of them, but that'd be a trick question.
Yeah, that would be a trick question. Yeah,
because he has been president. So first one is Charles Pinckney. Nope.
So that leaves what? Well, you already won something, Batman. Yeah, here you go. Now, don't let your dad take that from you, because he's a big Superman fan, and you're not.
Okay.
Hold on. Batman T-shirt. Who's the next name?
Can I win? Oswald Cobblepot. Right here. That's right. The Penguin.
But which villain is he? What villain is he?
That's right.
Wait.
Whoa.
I think he's in the building.
Go ahead.
What am I waiting for?
Okay. Another wall decoration, a beautiful Batman.
Okay.
Logo.
Rufus King.
Let's get some new hands. New hands.
This guy.
Heather.
Oh, yeah. On the spot.
That's right.
Ah, here you go. I would throw this, but it might do some decapitation.
That's fine.
Yeah, that has a warning label on
it'll
it.
It'll be like the Deadpool movie.
Exactly. Yep.
So if you don't know, that's Heather. She is Matt Hinshaw's sister. So if you want to know some secrets about Matt, that's who you talk to.
No, there's no secrets. No secrets.
And then let me know, and we'll put them up all over social media.
I was going to say, it's already all on the internet. All
right, how many names you got left?
What do I have left? We don't want to repeat.
Do
so
you have
one,
another name?
Two. Sure, I got three names.
Give us one more.
One more. All right. Jonathan Crane.
Jonathan Crane, supervillain or presidential candidate? Petty.
That's right. And who is he?
Scarecrow.
That's all right. Frank, you want to pass that back?
That's right.
Oh!
For those of you who didn't,
good thing
epic,
this isn't a baseball podcast.
Epic fail.
No
epic
athletes
fail
on this panel.
On the throw.
All right. Who else? Who up here on the panel? Bill, give us a little bit about why you are so infatuated with the man on your underwear.
I will tell you that I started out as a Superman fan because I think every kid was kind of like groomed to say he's the good guy, he's the All-American. Batman's a vigilante, and I had a brother, and so it seemed like every time I got something Superman, he got it Batman. Once upon a time, about 20-some years ago, he comes in and he says, I just saw this comic book, and Batman's fighting Superman. And I said, no way. And sure enough, it was called The Dark Knight Returns about 20 years ago, 30 years ago, actually. And they were actually brawling each other, and I said, you got to be kidding me. That doesn't happen in the comics. They're super friends, for crying out loud. And I was hooked on Batman ever since then. And I even had a car in high school that was called the Batmobile.
Well, that's the line in the sand between the classic Batman, and then Frank Miller wrote that book. And, like, the suit that Superman is wearing in the current movie is based on the suit, the cybernetic suit he's wearing at the end of the movie.
Exactly.
You know, it's that whole thing. You know, that whole thing where he's the dark, bitter, broken man, you know. That's Bill, when he got interesting. He stopped being he stopped being sort of a pop culture
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
And Frank Miller has a lot to do, correct, with why Batman is so darn dark?
Yes, yes, because they made him like a joke. Like I said, if you watch the cartoons, like you said, with Scooby-Doo and stuff, they made Batman and Robin all joking around and jovial, and then Dark Knight changed everything.
Which is one of the reasons why I really, really like Batman, the animated series, because that was the darker, more detective oriented Batman. You actually got to see him, you know, be the hero that I think everyone wanted him to be. You know,
for the record,
grit and everything.
For the record, that's the movie that I want to see. I want to see them make The Dark Knight Returns with this guy that's 70 years old and insane. You know, then the world is ending.
Are we back on presidential candidates again? You
know? No, really. That's the movie that I want to see. That's the movie I want to see.
Well, they did actually make an animated version of that.
Yeah.
It was actually a two-parter. It's actually quite good.
Yeah.
I was actually going to say, actually, for the dark tone for Batman, I'd probably dial it back actually to the 1970s, and I would attribute that to the work of Dennis Gowen and Neil Adams.
Yeah.
Because they were the ones after the 1960s who kind of brought the detective angle back in.
Yeah.
They introduced a lot of villains like Man-Bat and really kind of reinvented and turned him back into kind of the creature of the night, the dark detective. So I would attribute it to them, in my opinion. So
Have you checked out, I think it's a fairly new series, is it called Batman 66 or something? Where it's
the comics, yeah.
Yeah,
I begged to work on that book, and I pleaded and offered to do things I shouldn't have offered to do. Luckily, they didn't take me up on it. I grew up with the 60s TV series, but yeah, it is called Batman 66. And in addition to celebrating the 60s television series, they're also celebrating other things. There's actually currently a series right now where Batman's teaming with the characters from Man from U.N.C.L.E. Prior to that, there was actually a really, really good series that actually teamed Batman with the Green Hornet again for a new adventure. So if you enjoyed the comic books, the Batman Green Hornet one is really good as well.
Which always made me laugh when they did the crossover with Dick Grayson fighting Bruce Lee in 66. It just didn't seem fair.
What I love about that 66 Batman 66 comic is that it puts classic 60s Batman and Robin up against some of those darker villains. Like one issue, they fight Clayface.
Right. Well, they did one with Two-Face because what happened was they were going to put Two-Face in the TV series, but it got canceled before they were able to do that.
It's great to see these a 60s take on some of these.
Exactly. Now, I should say I have a connection to the Batman 66 TV show. I once met Chad and Jeremy, and they were musicians in the 60s, and the Catwoman took their voices. There was a big episode there, yeah.
Which Catwoman?
Julie Newmar, I believe.
Ooh,
yeah.
Good.
I have a Batman book.
They're also great.
Let's do one more bat-related trivia question, and then we are going to hear Sky play us a little bat-related music, because one of the things that he is known for is that 60s surf-style music that Batman also is associated with. So this is a little out-of-the-box bat question. It has to do with baseball bats, kind of. In 1983, George Brett with the Kansas City Royals was involved in a bat-related controversy because he had pine tar. Now, I know you're going there. He had pine tar too far up on his bat. And was it Billy Martin that called him out on that?
Yes, it was.
But George Brett was known for something far more important than the pine tar incident. Who knows what will follow George Brett for the rest of his life? What was he known for? Anyone? Tony? Yes, sort of. And this is for a Batman puzzle. What probably caused that temper flaring up? Flaring up was kind of a hint. What else was George Brett known for? Nobody? Huh? Hemorrhoids. George Brett missed many games for hemorrhoid surgery.
Family show.
This podcast just took a really
families get
turn.
Hemorrhoids. Here
family
you go.
Show.
Here
you go. I mean, really? I just
Sky, play us a little tune.
We need some music.
can do the bat dance for a Sky Daddy CD.
Bat 2C.
Come on. Nobody knows
Frank,
the bat
come
dance.
On.
Frank.
We know Frank's eyeballing it. I know you see a Pulp Fiction. Come on, Frank.
Frank, hand that over to Tom. Hand that over to Tom. He'll enjoy that.
I should say real quick, I had a T-shirt in high school that actually had the words on the shirt. It said, da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-
play that live, I do the sound effects. And I tell little corny jokes, too. Hey, Bill, did you read that comic book where Superman and Batman fought?
Yes, I did.
Well, tell me the ending.
No, I'm not going to give anything away.
Well, Mr. Dave, did you say that Batman has defeated the Incredible Hulk? Did I hear you say that?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's the end of the discussion. Batman's going to defeat Superman.
I think it's safe to say that Batman won.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, but we're also overlooking the possibility that while the two of them are fighting, Wonder Woman could swoop in and knock both of them out. So,
much like the trailer showed.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman, that's a whole other mix.
She's a wild card. She's a wild card.
Because when we're talking about that classic story, you know, she didn't really figure into it in any major way. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of wrinkles come out of that. So
I have a Wonder Woman trivia question if you're interested.
Go for it. This one is Jim and Kelly listening? No? Okay. This question is a Wonder Woman-based question, and if I think most everybody here is local to the Prescott Valley or Chino area. We have a nice gift card here for Big Daddy E's Barbecue out in Chino Woo! Valley. If you
that's
have
the
not
best
ate
barbecue
there,
ever.
Can I enter on this one?
So if you are... Oh, and before we get into that, we're going to have a Wonder Woman question. Sky, tell us a little bit about what's happening at Big Daddy's with you throughout the spring and summer.
Thank you. Big Daddy E's, it really is the best barbecue ever that I've ever had in my entire life. And that's why I'm helping... helping out Eric. We're going to have live music at Big Daddy E's Barbecue right there in Chino Valley from 4:30 to 6:30 every single Friday night. And you'll see me there. You'll see Les there. PK Gregory. Chuck Hall. Wow. Is going to be there. So you want to make sure you go to Big Daddy E's Barbecue on a Friday night.
Ask away, Brian. So if you are interested in either cooked meat or Wonder Woman or both, listen to this question.
You want an easy one or a hard one? Okay. So, multiple choice. Which actress played Wonder Woman in the 1970s TV series? Multiple choice. Diana Rigg, Lee Merriweather, Linda Carter, or Patricia McPherson?
I think this Mike, hand was up first.
Yeah, Michael was first.
Linda Carter with a Y.
That's right.
Linda Carter with a Y. She even spelled it correctly.
I think actually one of the interesting things with that 1970s Wonder Woman is the original pilot actually didn't even have Linda Carter. It was actually Kathy Lee Crosby. And I think I saw some clips of them going, why does Wonder Woman have blonde hair? It should be dark.
Yeah, it's also completely unwatchable.
Kind of like the pilot TV show they did for Justice League of America. Oh, that was atrocious.
Oh, you mean Friends?
hey, Dave! Out of the Batman and Superman movies, TV shows, whatever, what's your favorite?
Well, I have a fondness for the '60s movie because probably still my favorite villain to this day is actually Frank Gorshin's portrayal of the Riddler.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's so manic, and at times he actually displays real psychoses and real mental problems, and it's fascinating to watch him play that character.
One of the things that he did different than most villains who wear get-ups is the mask would come and go. Why?
Right.
What was the was that
you
just
know,
his
I,
nutsiness?
I think it's one of those things that it seemed like in the '60s TV show specifically, everyone knew that Edward Nygma was the Riddler. And it seemed like he just had a flair for fashion because he also had the suit, had the question marks on the lining on the inside, and he had the bowler hat, and then he'd run around in the pajamas with the question marks all over it. So I think it just depended upon what his mood was. But of the more contemporary stuff, I'd have to say that I really liked The Dark Knight, the Christopher Nolan film. It was... the portrayal of the Joker in particular was terrifying. The first time I saw the trailer, I remember thinking it was like, well, this is really scary because this is what the Joker could be like in the real world. I'd have to say those are probably my two.
Kind of interesting that Robin Williams wanted to play the Riddler, and it would have been really cool to see his take on it.
And it would have been interesting because I think if Robin Williams had decided to play the Riddler, or if that had come about, I think Keaton would have actually done a third turn. So I don't think we would have gotten Batman Forever in the way that it was done. It would have been a different kind of film.
Well, I think the problem was after the first two Michael Keaton Batman movies, when you got to the last two with Val Kilmer and George Clooney, the problem was I think most of the villains, they played their roles like Jack Nicholson played the Joker in the original Batman, and I think that's what ruined it. It's like there was no difference to me between Tommy Lee Jones' Two-Face and Jim Carrey's Riddler. They were just both off the wall, again, kind of trying to mimic Jack Nicholson. It's like, no, it doesn't work. You got to put your own spin on those characters, which is why I thought, you know, Heath Ledger as the Joker was so memorable for what he did. And you're right, he was just terrifying. And I think some of the lines he had in there, when you sat back and thought about it, you went, you know, like in some ways, Joker is right about that. Like when he talks about the schemers and people trying to control their world. And like, if I say that a truckload of soldiers will blow up tomorrow, no one will panic. But I threaten to kill a mayor and everyone loses their mind. And it's like, there's actually truth to that.
Yeah.
Now, not to turn this back into away from the Batman conversation, because this is Batman versus Superman, but what did everybody think of the latest Superman film, Man of Steel?
I thought it was okay.
I need to watch that.
I liked it a lot. I thought it was really good. It was a heck of a lot better than the prior Superman film.
Superman Returns.
I don't know about that.
So let me just come out and say that I like Superman Returns.
I think it's great.
It actually is not a bad Superman film. Brandon Routh actually did not make a bad Superman.
He does look a lot like Christopher Reeve.
He
does.
Yeah.
He does.
I think the problem with it is it just mimicked, you know, the original Superman, the 1979 film of Christopher Reeve, too much. It was the land scheme all over again. So you think
it was nostalgia?
Yeah, I think nostalgia kind of torpedoed that film. Yeah,
it was like a continuation, like you said. It was almost like Superman 5. You know, they were
exactly what it was—a sequel.
It was, but the part I didn't like was that Superman goes missing, and then Clark Kent goes missing, and they don't even think anything of it. It's like, oh, that's weird.
Maybe the actor wanted a vacation.
Maybe he did.
Maybe. Now, I think it's a great Clark Kent movie. That's why I love Superman Returns.
When Keaton was announced way back when as the Batman for that first Batman movie way back in the 80s, he was known...
I think it was the 90s, but yeah.
89.
That was 89. I'm standing in line for that movie.
I have hopes for the current movie, but in my opinion, there hasn't been a good Superman movie.
Ah.
There hasn't been. They keep playing it safe. They don't. You know, they just recently kind of figured out how to do comic book movies at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so they're doing this, and people are going to see them. But you would go see them. I would go see it and go, this is not moving me. This is not interesting.
I just want the red briefs back. Well, yeah. I don't like that solid blue suit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's wrong too. But you know, but just
make a note of that and talk to Brian off mic. That's odd.
I like 2 because 2 kind of got a little darker.
But, you know, I'm just saying.
When he lost his powers and everything.
It wasn't that they were bad movies, but there wasn't a great movie, you know, and out of any of them. I mean, Christopher Reeve was great. He was like he was a good Superman, but it wasn't really a good movie. It wasn't something that I watched it. I was done with it. You know, whereas like The Dark Knight Returns, right? Dark Knight Returns, like I watch that probably once every 6 months.
Exactly,
it's a good, you know, it's well done. You know, even though they change canon, and you know, I really don't like the whole Ra's al Ghul thing and stuff. But you know. That's just that's like why I have hopes for this movie. This doesn't look like too bad.
They kind of had to step it up, like you said. Yeah. You can go darker with the Batman, but even with when we were talking about the Riddler earlier, they had him just spouting out riddles, and then somewhere in the like the 90s, they made him more like a killer. I mean, he like basically put a gun to someone and just killed him right there. You know,
yes. that's the thing that's the trap that Batman stories fall down. If I was going to nitpick something, is all of just about all of the Batman villains are variation on a serial killer with a funny quirk.
Right, but the thing is though that he did find out that Batman was Bruce Wayne in the comics. Mm-hmm. But he couldn't say anything about it because Batman approached him and said, "Well, that's the end of your riddle. You know the answer now." And he was kind of like,
I'd say too, to comment on what you were talking about, but they're all sort of crazy. The one difference of that would be Bane, because Bane is very much a terrorist. He knows exactly what he's doing. He has a mission. Even in The Dark Knight Rises, I know that film gets maligned as not being very good.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
I really should have done some homework. I don't have any idea what you guys are talking about.
Well, just Bane, sit quietly.
Impossible for a Santos.
Did you tell Matt to sit quietly? Oh my god!
And you know, in the comics, Bane is one of the few villains to actually get the best of Batman. I mean, he broke Bruce Wayne's back, basically sent him essentially into an exile, and then a real psychopathic maniac vigilante took over as Batman. And those stories are interesting too, because a lot of times people always go, "Well, why doesn't Batman just straight up use a gun in the comics?" When I was younger, and when they told those stories, where Jean-Paul Vallée, which is also called Azrael, assumed the role of Batman, what they were trying to do, the editors and the storytellers, was go, "Okay, so you think it'd be great if the Punisher was Batman?" And that's what they gave us. Mm-hmm. And you realize that Bruce is kind of his rules that he has, and these certain things he won't do, which he will probably break in this movie, I might add.
Keeping him sane.
Right, yeah. So,
but you point out that was a good strategy in Nightfall, where basically all these villains came out of the woodwork, and then Bane was easy picking for him. You know, he just
and he broke them all out. How it all started. He broke all the villains out of Arkham Asylum, and he knew Batman would run around and kill himself trying to round him up. And when he was at his weakest point, he showed up in Wayne Manor and was just like, "Okay, let's go."
So before we get too far away from the 1989 Batman, this is kind of an either or question. So
is this a Batman related question?
Yeah.
I thought we told you to sit quietly.
Because I have stuff to give away. We have a Joe King original Batman character here. So if you are interested in this, pay attention and answer this question correctly.
And I think for something that good, rather than call out answers, we should. If someone wants to answer, why don't we raise our hands, and then you can answer. Does that sound good?
I don't know.
All right. So this is a who came into the world first question: who was born, who was created, who's first? The Joker, the character of the Joker. Or Jack Nicholson, the guy who played the Joker.
I saw a hand twitch in the back, though. No? Pick someone. Someone who hasn't won yet.
Have you won yet? Well, who hasn't won yet? Let's give it to him. Oh, right here, purple shirt.
It's the Joker.
Wrong. Nope. The Joker first appeared.
Let's give her one for raising her hand. Oh, wait. So since she guessed wrong, who would like to guess right for a magnet? Tom!
So the Joker first appeared, and I want some fact-checking right now. Batman number one in 1940. Sound good? Does that sound plausible?
Sounds about right.
Fun fact, they were going to kill him off. They saw his potential, and they brought him
back.
Jack
Nicholson, April 22nd, 1937. And I have a follow-up question, actually.
Oh, wait, follow-up!
Superman.
I have an 80s Batman question, too, after you finish yours.
Are you ready, Matt, or are you still digging around?
Okay, who came into the world first, Superman or Matt's mom?
Oh!
Wow. Holy cow.
For those of you that don't know, my mom's pretty old.
That's correct. She knew a world without Jack Nicholson, too. She's older than Jack Nicholson.
Who got that correct?
This guy right here.
Yeah, and your mom's not here today. I thought she was coming today.
She doesn't like spend time with me either.
Who hey, does? Hey, Matt Santos, I have a question for you.
She hasn't gotten over that Yoda joke.
Go ahead, Scott.
You were talking about the Michael Keaton Batman and some of the other Batmans. Which Batman actor is your favorite?
Oh, Adam West. West is my favorite. My question on that was, since Keaton was mainly known for comedy, there was a lot of backlash when he was announced to be Batman, and it turned out, in my opinion, a very, very, very good Batman.
I think Ben Affleck might be a great.
That's what I was going to ask. Ben Affleck got a lot of pushback. Go around the table. What do you guys think of how Ben Affleck will be?
Before we go completely off topic, can I ask my related question?
Oh, please. Because
it actually does kind of play in a little bit to what you were talking about. So. There were a lot of rumors prior to Keaton about someone else, a very well-known comedic actor, actually playing Batman, and he was actually known for busting ghosts. Can anyone say who that actor was?
Bill Murray.
That's right. Very good. So what I've got here, this is an art print that I actually did for the Superman celebration many years ago, and it's signed, so...
You don't get to keep that one. I'm taking that one. Sorry.
This one needs a frame. This should go on the website.
That one will be framed.
Yes, take care of that one.
This is an easy one. Who's the biggest Superman fan here?
No one.
Ooh. Oh, I think that might be me.
Wow. That's a bit harsh.
Superman's not bad.
So you were talking about who our favorite Batman actors are.
Please, go for it.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, just to kind of go around
the
table.
You start.
So. Mm-hmm. I liked what Christian Bale did, and I haven't quite seen enough of Ben Affleck to vote in on Ben Affleck yet, I'm going to say Adam West. Mm-hmm. So he was the first Batman, again, I was introduced to. So I would say Adam West for me as well.
Mm-hmm. I don't mean to harken back to childhood, but I saw the original Batman movies with Michael Keaton when I was fairly young, and I really liked Michael Keaton. I enjoyed Adam West. I watched the Adam West childhood show as well, but for some reason, Michael Keaton always just sticks in my head, and I really wish he would have done another film, but that's me.
Yeah. Mine, I agree.
Go ahead. Mine is easily Kevin Conroy from the animated series. He didn't have to do a funny voice to play a perfect Batman. He's my favorite Batman by far.
Boy, you stole my thunder there. I mean, I like Christian Bale. No, that's okay. I like Christian Bale. I like Michael Keaton. I thought Michael Keaton was perfect because he looked so unassuming. Who would ever think that someone who looked like Michael Keaton would be dressed up in a bat costume going around and beating the crud out of criminals? But, again, I'm with you. Kevin Conroy did a great voice acting job for Batman, just kind of that very deep, very ominous voice. I mean, it's... All you had to say was just two or three words, and you were like, "Yeah, this guy just ain't messing around, man." So Kevin Conroy to me just I thought really did a good job of with his voice, just adding to the really dark tone of Batman the Animated Series.
And he's only gotten better. I don't know how many years total he's been doing it, but anyone who plays the Batman video games, the recent ones, he's still the voice of Batman, and you can really hear that. He's really acting in this.
And I also love Mark Hamill doing the voice of the Joker. He does it so perfectly. And you sit there and you go, absolutely. This is
Luke Skywalker. Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker is a homicidal madman clown.
Bill.
I'll go a different route. I'll say I like Val Kilmer in Batman. I know don't like
you
Batman forever, but I thought as a whole he did a good Batman. I mean, he was... He was very suave as Bruce Wayne, you know. And the problem I had with Michael Keaton, even though I grew up with him, was that he always was, like, giving his identity out. He'd meet a woman. Oh, hey, guess what? I'm Batman. What?
I like that he dated a photojournalist.
Yeah. And then for Superman, I'll just throw in Superman. I like Christopher Reeve because, again, I grew up with those movies.
Ooh, that was a good
one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bud Collier for me. I think he's my Superman.
I got to go Christopher Reeve.
I was already on Kevin Conroy. You know, that's the first season of the animated series is still a treasure. It is the last, you know, like it's the last cell. It's done old style. It's all on cells. And if you're geeky enough, you can go through it and see all the little white specks on the individual cells and stuff. I love that. I love that. I like the Art Deco feel to it and everything. And that was perfect.
And we got a great movie perfect. Out of the deal too, oh, Mask yeah, yeah. of the Phantasm,
that, which yeah. is oh, probably yeah. which like then once again, man, probably the best Batman movie up until you know. Possibly the Christopher Nolan movies. That was a great movie. It was so good.
And it's a lot darker than you'd think. So oh, yeah. it's very much a...
Oh, yeah.
It's probably one of the more grown-up Batman yeah. stories, mm-hmm. I would
well,
say.
They were not afraid to get dark on the animated... Mm-hmm. The 90s cartoon slot in the afternoon was just awesome. Uh-huh. it yeah. was really good.
Hey, Batman the Animated Series, and then Gargoyles, man. It was
oh.
made.
Oh, forget Gargoyles that, man. Was awesome.
Loved it.
Forget that, like the Animaniacs.
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
Yes.
Animaniacs, Pinky and the Brain, like, you know, just all that stuff. Yeah. But, yeah, like, but yeah, Kevin Conroy, you could close your eyes and you knew it was Batman. You mm-hmm. didn't have to see it. So.
All right, my turn. Of course, it's Adam West. There is nobody compares to Adam West. He's the reason that I am a Batman fan. But as far as the movies are concerned, Michael Keaton was my favorite because he was so much different as Bruce Wayne as, you know, when he was as Batman. Their identities were completely different, personalities and everything.
Anybody out there think they have a question that the experts up here would not
Bring
be
it.
Able to answer?
Bring it.
Well, it's not so much a question, but proposing something. If you take Superman and Batman and put them in the model city of Kandor, which would put Superman on the same basis as Batman, who would win then?
Batman.
Yeah, I was gonna say everybody here is saying Batman. So
equal footing, probably Batman just hang out you? Anyhow. Yes. So there would probably
Anita,
not be a fight.
You take one of Johnny's books.
All right.
Batman's brother first.
And she is getting Sea Raptor, which, of course, is the story of Jack Rastin and Karen Thatcher battling a sea monster on the Jersey Shore, available at Amazon. Sea Raptor
through
by John
Jay. Through the MileHighShow.com banner on Amazon.
Yes,
how
that
about
too.
That?
Yes, thank you.
What's your question, young man?
How many times do you guys fight over who's going to win in the new Batman vs. Superman movie?
Just once. Just
the
today.
First time. Yep.
Just well, today.
I've had this debate with many people in many different times. Not the panel, well, but my own friends.
I felt that this question was. I felt like this question was settled like a long time ago with the
I picked Deadpool.
We were talking about where he had come up with like some kind of contingency plan for everybody. That actually that goes further than that. You know, like there are other repercussions from that too. But yeah, that's been settled for a long time.
And I was gonna say actually when it's interesting because. In the trailers and everything we've seen so far, Ben Affleck's going to make a great Batman. Mm-hmm. But I remember being at Phoenix Comic Con on the Marvel versus DC panel, and I was on the DC side trying to defend Ben Affleck right after it was announced to a room full of raving Marvel maniacs who thought I'd lost my mind because he was so awful in Daredevil. And I remember trying, and that was a hard fight to win. But like I said to them, I said, you know, the thing about it is that if you look at that film, the problem was not Ben Affleck. You know, you can't expect him to do wire foo in broad daylight on a seesaw when he's supposed to be portraying a blind man and expect anyone's going to go, that's awesome.
Well, yeah. if you saw Johnny Mnemonic, right, and you see him fight in that, like you see him fight, he's like, there's nothing there. You watch the guy, and he's like kind of, you know, he really doesn't have it. His friend Matt is real good at that stuff, mm-hmm. but he doesn't really have it. Thank God for CGI in the current movie, because like in that clip, it looks just like you know Arkham Knight. Yeah,
exactly.
This gentleman up here, first question: you a football fan?
Yeah.
Would you be interested in going to a Rattlers football game? Then come on over here and ask your question.
The caricature of the Joker is based on the film adaptation of which author's novel?
Repeat that for him, Brian. So we've
maybe
got it on.
Maybe just come to the mic, yeah. Maybe. I don't know if I can repeat that.
That's a good one.
The caricature of the Joker is based on which author's 1928 movie adaptation of his novel?
Ah, man.
Well, I know the title of the film was
that
the
is worth. Yeah, I know the movie.
That is worth movie, yeah. Four football tickets in that bag
well,
and
we've
a T-shirt.
Got the movie over here.
Well, it's The Man Who Laughs.
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
But, you know, there's always been that controversy because that's what Bob Kane says, and Jerry Robinson took it to his grave that it was a sketch that he did of the playing card that the character was going to use. Okay. So that's always been kind of contentious.
The question is
that, right, yeah.
The second half is who's the
author? I don't know that.
I knew the first part of that, but I didn't even know there was a book.
No,
you
got me
for
that one. Victor Hugo.
Ah!
Victor Hugo. As in Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Victor Hugo.
Oh. Well, thank you for coming in. Patty, your arm was up.
All right. That's what I'm talking about, man. That's a hard question.
Who's your favorite Lois Lane?
Who's your favorite Lois Lane?
Margo Kidder.
Yeah, exactly.
At least in the first two movies.
Dana Delaney from Superman the Animated Series.
Yeah. Well done, sir.
Batman over here.
Why didn't Batman go to church?
Why didn't Batman go to church?
Because he was
Christian Bale.
Because he's a Christian Bale, of course.
Because he was up all night. But
I've got a question I think is important that I ask the panel here, too. I would like to go around. Most of us are comics readers, I imagine, and I would like to know everybody's favorite Batman or Superman story. Mine's going to be a Batman one. Hush, I love that story.
Well, I'm going to chime in with two because I can never discount Batman versus the Incredible Hulk, written by Lynn Wayne and illustrated by Jose Luis Garcia Lopez. But aside from that, I have always loved Batman Year One, written by Frank Miller and drawn by David Mazzucchelli.
As most of you know, as I'd said, I'm more of a Marvel guy than DC, so I don't really read the DC books. But
not even DC versus Marvel crossover?
Yeah, I do read those. But
Amalgam, that was
the most recent Superman book that I just picked up was the Superman Unchained, and I really like that story with Zack Snyder did that. But going back to my childhood was when they killed off Superman and using Doomsday. I really enjoyed that, even though it was not the greatest thing in the world.
And potential spoiler.
Yes. it's got to be Batman, but for me, it's a toss-up because it's so hard to pick one or the other. It's almost like, you know, which Rush song do I like best, Tom Sawyer or Subdivisions? But it's a toss-up between The Dark Knight Returns and The Killing Joke, which I hear they're going to make an animated movie of, which I cannot wait to see.
I've got a question on The Killing Joke, if we have time.
Let's go around. Billy, go ahead.
I just want to say my favorite is Batman Arkham Asylum. I love that graphic novel because it's very beautifully painted, and I even have a full-length poster, and it's got the Joker's face on it. It's got Batman kind of walking into the asylum. And I'd say Superman Pride of the Doomsday. Actually, the whole death of Superman storyline was good, because it had the whole DC universe kind of into it, and then they had the big mystery about one is Superman, and it turned out it was none of them, but still it was good. They had like four different Supermans running around, you know.
I would go with the Arkham. Not only is Arkham Asylum cool, but it's a one-off, and it's a Neil Gaiman story, you know, which makes it, like, for me, you know, that's like if my favorite part of DC in particular is Sandman. You know, that for me, that like I gave up.
Yeah, it was
up
a
on,
great series.
I gave up on comics, and then someone gifted me the box set when it came out, and I was like, "What is this magic?" You know, and so that was like his whole take on the DC universe, and particularly that was like some dark stuff.
Very
true. You know, I liked it.
These two young guys have a couple of questions, and then they could fight it out over those stickers.
Oh, you didn't even get Sky's answer.
I was giving him a cue, like, please don't ask me, because I'm going to take about a year and read some of the comic books, then I'll have a good answer for that. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Take you longer than that, man.
It's not your fault you actually had a life when you were young.
Yeah,
we would be with remiss.
So you actually went to prom.
Oh!
We would be remiss if we didn't also mention Dave McKean, the artist who painted Arkham Asylum.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful work.
Okay, fellas, go on that mic right over there and ask away.
Tell us who you are first.
My name's Ben, and who came first, Batman or Superman?
Superman.
Is he right?
Yeah. But it should be important to note that DC Comics does stand for Detective Comics.
Hey,
but
he stole your stickers,
like you said,
by
with
the
number
way.
One,
you're
it was
to
something totally different
up.
Until issue 27 came about. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
My name's Nathan, and I have two questions. The first question.
Oh, that's a magnet per question. Then go ahead.
If Superman and Batman got together, what would you call their baby?
odd? First off, that's kind of a political question. We don't want to get into.
We don't do politics.
Go ahead. What might you...
Out of all of you, how many of you are going for Superman in the new movie?
None of us.
It's almost I think full Batman, kind of
Batman
panel. Yeah.
Batman.
I love Superman, so I'm going to be thrilled to see him again in a movie.
Yeah,
there we go.
Well, I have hopes for this movie. It looks good. It looks good. You know, it looks good.
I am also a pretty big Superman fan. I always tell people if you've ever heard about it, the Superman Celebration in Metropolis, Illinois, is actually a town festival, not really a convention. And I always say, if you're a Superman fan and you've never been to the Superman Celebration, it's like being an Elvis fan and never going to Graceland. So I am a pretty big Superman fan, but it's just when you pit Superman versus Batman, for me it's always going to be Batman.
Yeah, and I'm like Les, I believe it is. I've got real high hopes for this movie. My one big fear is I know DC is trying to play catch up with Marvel and their cinematic universe, and my big fear is they got a lot riding on Batman versus Superman. And I hope that they don't, like, do a panic job on here where it's like, well, you know, we got to, like, have these two fight, and then we got to try to get as many characters in here as possible because we got to have some of the Justice League members, and we got Doomsday. And, yeah, you know, we're probably also going to see Darkseid in there. I've seen evidence where he's probably going to pop up. And the big fear I have is it's going to be like the third Spider-Man movie where they just try to – they just stuffed so much into it that it just ruined the movie. And I guess
have a sweet Sam Raimi dance.
Yes.
I agree with John.
The biggest thing that they did wrong with the trailer was it like, could they have just waited to show us that Wonder Woman was going to be? I mean, that would have been awesome.
And we already know it's going to be a draw because Wonder Woman shows up and then they fight the other dude.
And who's that twisted, deformed thing that shows up at the end in the trailer? Could it be Doomsday?
I'll agree with you on that one. I think they should have not put Doomsday in that trailer and let it be kind of a surprise.
Let's go one more trivia question for our collector set of cereal brought to us by Bill Monroe. And
I took the prize out already, by the way.
Ah, I think you ate some of the cereal.
I did.
You're not a nice
Brian,
man.
Ask away. You're
so nice we talked about the 1988 book, controversial book, The Killing Joke by Alan Moore. It's a family show, so we won't go into details, but Barbara Gordon, one of my favorite characters, a.k.a. Batgirl, is injured and confined to a wheelchair through the events of that story. But she goes on to use her computer hacking skills, information gathering skills to help the other heroes out, kind of their IT guy. And she reappeared.
Their own gadget guy.
She reappeared the next year under a new name in Suicide Squad number 23. What new name did she go by, kiddos? I know they'll get it. Harley Quinn? I don't know.
Ah!
Oh, gotcha.
Hey, no fair.
Hey.
That's right.
There you go.
All right, here, you got some breakfast for the morning.
Okay, there's a DC movie that I'm excited about, Suicide Squad.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, there's a DC. I'm excited.
Before we had the trivia question, I was going to say, you know, I don't really care who wins. I just want it to be a good movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's my biggest concern.
Nobody's going to win because they're going to team up, form the Justice League. And
then we'll have a whole lot more movies.
Yeah.
All right, you heard it here first. Prediction.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here again. Thanks, everybody, for coming in. Oh, no,
I was just going to recommend if you're interested in Barbara Gordon's character of Oracle, they had a fantastic series called Birds of Prey. Mm-hmm. Not the TV series. Yes. I'm talking about the comic books. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fantastic series. Highly recommend.
Well, thank you all for coming. Let's go around the table again. Tell us who you are and how folks can reach you.
I'm Brian, and I like Batman and Superman.
And the gadget guy.
And turtles. You like turtles, too, right?
Facebook. If people like my Facebook page, then I'll work on it. So that's the deal.
Again, my name is David Beatty. I'm a professional comic book artist. You can follow me on Twitter at Dave B. Cartoonist. And then I'm also on Facebook, just under my name of Dave Beatty.
Matt Henshaw, photographer, Daily Courier, Arizona Rattlers, Henshaw Photography.
Website.
All
Henshaw.
Whatever, just look, Google it.
His website is google.com.
That was
I'm too old to give it yet. All you guys
quality
don't
plugging, man. I like it.
John Rust, sports director at KYCA Radio, 1490 AM on your dial. I am the catch all my sports reports there. Catch Tri-City Sports Roundup Saturday mornings. And buy my books on Amazon, Sea Raptor, Dark Wings, the best Phillies team ever, and Arizona's all-time baseball team.
But what if I want to read some Harry Potter fan fiction?
You can also go to fanfiction.net under JJ Rust. I've got a ton of fan fiction there. Not just Harry Potter, but also some Godzilla stuff, too. Ooh,
and I tried to make mine quick.
Jeez. Bill Monroe, Arizona's Hometown Radio Group, KPBV.com, KQNA.com, and all of Matt's shows stream. So you can download those if you're bored.
Reason enough to sell your
exactly,
computer.
Exactly. So,
Leslie Earl Lyman, singer-songwriter. You can find me on Facebook, Leslie Earl Lyman. And I will be playing around. Look for me. That way you can avoid where I'm at.
I'm also a musician. I'm Sky Daddy. Of course, I'm a Batman fanatic, and you can catch me at skydaddy.net or look up Sky Daddy Conwell on Facebook.
And I am Matt Santos, The Mile High Show, right above us here. Please subscribe to it on iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn. Who's got an iPhone right now? Anybody?
I have a J phone.
Jump on it. Go to iTunes. Leave us a review and a rating. We would appreciate it. It gets us a little higher up in the ratings, and we can then go raise our prices for sponsors. Twitter and Instagram at The Mile High Show. Follow us. We got some fun stuff on there, not just show related, not just podcast related, but we try and spread information about local artists, local music, and the venues you can see and hear them. And thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. This podcast will be posted sometime in the near future. Follow us on Facebook. Everything, all the links are at milehighshow.com. And we are going to let Sky Daddy Conwell take us out with a song. And please, do not leave right away. We still got some stuff to give out up here and information on some of our local artists and musicians up here. And I've got a couple of CDs up here I'm dying to give away to somebody. So, Sky, take us out with a song.
Clark Kent, there was a real gent. He would not be caught sitting around in no jungle scape, dumb as an ape, doing nothing. Superman never made any money for saving the world from Sodom and Grundy. Sometimes I despair this world will never see another man like Superman. Bless you, Superman.
We got a lot of goat poop left if you're interested.